What's going on, everybody? So, debunking common myths around here seems to be a thing. So, here we go. This may or may not be an episode. It probably won't, to be honest. But if it is, well, it is, and you're listening to it. So, but I've been doing these audio journals, and a few of them I haven't really released because they're not really that important. Because they're just like, oh, awareness is weird. Like, it's all circular. It's like weird shit. Like, you know, that's not really important for this podcast. But it's stuff that I used to publish on the podcast. Because it's like, oh, yeah, it's about sharing your thoughts, right? It's like, no, that's not really useful. But I talked about the episode of fake therapy. It's an important episode to make. It's an important episode to listen to if you're uncommon. Maybe the word uncommon isn't the right word, but like, and this is one of the reasons why I'm not really publishing these episodes, these audio journals, is because I know that a lot of these points that I'm going to be making are going to be uncommon. They're going to be extremely uncommon because people are, part of it might be because people are buying into the new age stuff, which I once did as well, and I'm going to talk about this episode. People have bought into the self-help stuff and spirituality stuff, and I want to go into that in maybe other episodes and other audio journals at least. But I realize that like most people are not going to get it because they're stuck in the story and they're stuck in the experience, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't care. But it's not going to be, you know, if you find yourself overwhelmed, there could be a good reason why. It's because you're stuck in your emotions and your experience and your story about what's happening and things like this. Strange that, isn't it? Anyways, so I want to talk to you about judgment. We have this saying, and I think it's really funny to think about this in hindsight, but it's really funny, this idea of judgment, like, oh, we should be non-judgmental, like, oh, you know, like, every perspective is, you know, relative, like your truth and my truth are different, but they're truth, you know, this kind of thing. It's just like, oh, let's just remove science and microsurgery. Like, if you imagine, like, if you had a doctor or a surgeon or something, and he just goes up to you and he's like, oh, you know, like, there's no one perspective or one truth here. This is my truth and my way of doing surgery. It's going to be totally different. You know, you might die, but it's my truth that says that you're not going to die. You know, this is non-judgmental. We're going to be this kind of thing. Like, it's ultimate relativity. It's ultimate chaos. And it's really funny looking back on all this stuff when I'm unlearning all this, realizing, like, oh, you know, maybe non-judgment is not the complete answer here. Now, This doesn't mean, by the way, like, when people mix up this, I think, and we can get into this in a different episode, in deeper, but when you're judging someone, I think there's two levels to this. There's, like, the what you could call the grain of truth, or more, judgment, or there's just, like, the opinion judgment, like, oh, you're dumb, and you're stupid, and you're ridiculous, and this idea is really stupid, and, you know, this kind of thing, right? Like, it's all, like, super opinion-based. It's not really, like, any grain of truth or anything like this. But judgments allow you to make useful decisions. It's really funny to me to think about this in the past. Something I used to buy into, this idea, like, oh, we should be non-judgmental. Of course, I wasn't non-judgmental, and the people who say this are not necessarily non-judgmental, but they kind of give you this, like, little veneer, like, oh, let's be non-judgmental together. Let's, like, live and love and harmony and just, like, love bomb each other until we fall in love and we become an our own cult of non-judgment. That's what it is. In a lot of ways. Not completely, but a lot of it is based on and comes back to this problem of judgment and the problem of crowds as well, which I want to go into another audio journal or episode, depending on how good it is. And like I said, if you're a surgeon, you're not going to want a surgeon who's just like, oh, there's no one way of doing this, there's no one truth. Like, I might be cutting into your brain and killing you, but like, it's not killing you. You're going to go on to another place because you're a spirit, you know. That may be true, but you're dead now because this person killed you. That's a judgment. That's a rational judgment. And you know, you might think like, well, you're going a little overt with this, and it's like, well, yeah, well, we're going to giving overt examples to show you like how insane this is. Because I think we make this mistake of assuming that non-judgment equals empathy, or equals, not even necessarily empathy, but like equals the ability to make the same kind of decisions. And it doesn't necessarily. And this is why, you know, I've really been like looking at a lot of this, and I'm going like, wait, none of this really makes sense. Like, if you think about it rationally and logically, and just not listen to your emotions and your experience, you realize something really funny, which is, oh, like, I'm making judgments all the time, and those judgments can be useful or harmful depending on what's influencing those judgments. Because experience, believe it or not, is not the most foolproof way of doing things, because it can leave you in a space where, like, it's kind of like if you had, like, I like the analogy of, I think it was Jesus who said it, but it was something along the lines of, like, your house. You could build a house on sand, and your house is, like, moving all over the place because it's, like, the sand is being influenced by the waves, and the waves are coming over the sand, and, like, your house is now flooding and all this kind of stuff. Or you could do something radical and revolutionary in these days and age and build your house on brick. And your house, in this case, is a metaphorical understanding of, like, yourself. Your judgment. Strange, that. Anyways. And so, yeah, like, non-judgment is not as useful as people think it is. Like, this idea of extreme relativity. We're going to such extreme levels of relativity to where, like, all that we're seeing and involved in this, and it, all this is causing us, is chaos. We're seeing this in politics, actually, because there's so much relativity now to where we kind of enter this space of, like, is this the right decision? I don't know. Is this the right decision? Like, because truth is so fucking relative, because, you know, part of this is postmodernism and inaction. Part of it is just the problem of experience and of bias itself. But it causes so much confusion because, like, the truths are different, completely differing in a lot of ways. Like, you look at the left-wing truth, for instance. It's totally different from, like, the right-wing truth in a lot of ways. There's some commonalities, actually, but most of those are like, well, we must do something in the government. That's it. That's pretty much it. It's like, what? You know, you have to become, like, aware of this stuff. You have to become aware of this in a logical way. Otherwise, what you get is, like, chaos and confusion. And extreme, like, doubt, and you find yourself in this place where, like, nihilism becomes more and more common. This is why nihilism is such a problem. Why young men especially are dealing with nihilism, and it's because there's no, like, solid foundation for them. Like, there's no one absolute, like, way of doing things. They, like, do this thing, and I'm not saying, by the way, like, there has to be, like, one monoculture that runs throughout the universe or the United States or whatever. But oftentimes there is, like, this, like, mix and match of different philosophies and ideas. And it's something that I heard somebody else talk about. And it's really made me think about this, and I go like, oh, this, you know, makes sense, because what he was talking about, like, is if, you know, you can, like, mix and match many, many different philosophies and ideas and spiritualities together, but ultimately what that gets you is confusion and chaos, because you're not sticking with one, and so they're going to be contradicting each other in different ways. And this is what we're seeing right now in politics. We're seeing this in other ways as well. And this is where the problems of relativity become really, 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 really noticeable, if you're able to notice them. A lot of problems is people are not able to notice them because it's become so widespread, and because to actually have judgment is to be unempathetic anymore. Partially because they do mix these two different things, you know, the judgment with a grain of truth and the opinion that is just like, oh, you're dumb and this is stupid and, like, how dare you believe this stupidity thing. And this kind of thing, right? There is a difference, although a lot of times the difference is kind of melded together as well, which is another problem, but a lot of that has to do with the same problem of ultimate confusion and ultimate relativity. Like, even the right wing falls into this, even though you would think that they would be, like, the one people that wouldn't be doing this. And they don't do this, but they do this in other ways, and it causes problems in other ways. And it's because experience has become more valuable than logic, than rationality. Like, oh, have you ever thought that maybe experience can be wrong? Like, it can be, like, misleading people? Like, it's definitely a thing that happens. But that's the thing that people listen to. Like, oh, my truth says this, and your truth says this, and we can disagree, but it's just true. You know, it's my truth, and your truth, and their truth, and his truth, and her truth, and Z's truth, and Zer's truth. And it's just like, well, I mean, I don't want to go absolute and say, no, that's not true. But there is an absolute point in going where, like, well, yeah, we have different experiences, but experiences are not and never will be true. They're not, at least not by themselves. Because strange how this works. And this is where I think this problem of non-judgment really hits a really big brick wall. Because what I really notice is that the mind is going to make judgments anyways. And so if you think that you're non-judgmental, maybe that's true in, like, an empathetic sense, but you're still making judgments. Like, people shouldn't be doing this, they shouldn't be doing that, like, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, you're making judgments all the damn time. And these judgments are what are making you do what you're needing to do. How strange is that? So revolutionary, but it's so basic of information. But because we live in a world that is so, like, out of this world relative, that kind of information now is either, like, demonized or it's just, like, not seen because it's too relative. And it's crazy to me. It's so fucking crazy because, you know, people are going to listen to this and they're going to, like, well, you're being judgmental, and, like, I believe that, like, there is my truth and your truth and his truth and Z's truth and Zer's truth. It's like, well, what you're talking about is experience. That's a different thing. Subjectivity is not invalid. It's not completely incorrect. It is subjective, though. It's not, you know, it was funny, somebody was saying, like, well, subjectivity can't be disproven. It's like, well, actually, it has been disproven. There have been cases where it's been disproven, and I can give you, like, a couple of good examples of how this could be disproven. And I think of the post hoc fallacy, which is basically this idea that, like, And the good example of this is the idea of autism being caused by vaccines, right? This is a subjective opinion people have, even though it's not true. But people believe this. And the reason why they believe this is because, well, A, I gave my kid a vaccine, and B, oh no, look at that, a couple days later, a couple weeks later, they have autism, not realizing that autism starts usually about that time that the kids are getting the vaccines in the first place. That's how experience can be disproven. How strange is that? How weird is that? Experience can be subjective and wrong. Like, it's so revolutionary to say this, but it's true. Like, what world are we living in to where we're not seeing this? And I know people in the audience are probably seeing this. Like, people, there are going to be some people who see this. But, like, if you are deeply committed to this, like, self-help spirituality culture, you're not going to be able to see this because you're too relative. You're too stuck in this relativity nonsense. And it's not nonsense. It's definitely true. There are definitely things that you can be relative on, but, like, you have to draw a line somewhere. Otherwise, what you get is chaos and you get confusion, which is what we're getting right now. We're getting this in politics. We're getting this in the ways in which the world is fucking working right now. Like, if you look at the world right now, it's like fucking we're herding cats because everything is so fucking, like, it's too diverse. You know, people talk about, like, oh, multiculturalism is such a good idea. Like, it's not necessarily. Like, if you have a culture that doesn't respect your culture, doesn't respect your laws, and they come into your country as illegal immigrants or even legal immigrants, and they violate the laws and they violate people's businesses and things like this, like, obviously multiculturalism can cause problems, but that's one of the other levels of this relativity that goes crazy. Like, and people will not see this because they're too stuck in relative. It's funny to me. But that's one of the judgments that we are supposed to be making, but we're not making. And it's funny, another example that I think about is the actual Justice Warrior, which is a channel I do really, really like. I was talking with this woman, I think it was Emma Vigilin or whatever her name is, and they were talking about, like, oh, you think that judgments should make judgments? It's like, yeah, I think judgments should have the ability to make judgments. It's like, oh, how revolutionary and radical is this? It's like, what? What are we doing right now? Like, obviously, judges should be able to discern, like, wait, this person is violent. Because what they're talking about was, like, that these reform laws in a lot of these areas are keeping judges from actually, like, determining if people are repeat offenders or if they're dangerous, this kind of thing. I'm like, oh yeah, I agree. I think that judgments should have the ability to make these judgments. It's really strange. It's really shocking, isn't it? But that's what we live in. That's the world we live in because we're stuck in this, like, ultimate relativity where, like, everything is a panacea. Like, oh, self-awareness, just be self-aware. And yes, I know I said stuff like this, and, you know, that's where I look back at, like, the other stuff that I've said in the past. I'm like, what? Like, all the problems are caused by a lack of awareness? Like, that's stupid. I mean, in a sense it's true, but that's not, like, even if it is true, which it is kind of true, but, like, even if it is true, it's not explaining why that is. Like, what is actually causing this? And so people have this idea that, like, oh, it's self-awareness itself is the answer. No, it's not the answer. Like, it's a lot more than this. There has to be, like, a step-by-step process, and I don't know what the step-by-step process is. But, of course, if I give you a step-by-step process, people are going to be, even more people are going to tune out. And they're going to be like, what? I don't want a step-by-step process. I want to be able to not be guilt-tripped into, or I want to be able to go into spirituality in a very vague way and say, like, oh, I'm actually having results and progress, even though I'm not. But that I don't realize that because I'm stuck in this ultimate relativity. And that's what I did for years and years in different ways. Of course, I still had judgments, but I didn't realize that I was having judgments because the judgments were in different ways. And the judgments were like, oh, is this really true? Like, I don't know. Like, there was an extreme level of doubt in this kind of thing. Because the judgments were not judgments, but were like, they're like sloppily put together kind of thing. And that's what you're going to get. Like, your mind is going to judge. Your mind is going to come to conclusions. That's what a judgment is. People talk about judgments as if it's like this horrible thing. Like, oh, judgments. Like, oh my God. He's making a judgment about a person. It's like, yeah. Like, that's what people do all day long. All judgment is coming to a conclusion. Like, oh, is the rain falling right now? Yeah, it seems to be falling right now. That's coming to a conclusion. That's making a judgment about reality. Like, oh, gravity exists, right? And to be an adult, you have to make judgments about the world, about yourself, about your actions. And I've been looking at this channel that I've looked at in the past before, because I always liked his ideas, and he was very unusual in the way that he did things. And so if you find this very interesting and useful information, you might want to look at this channel called Brandon Gilbert. He talks about a lot of other things as well, but talks about a lot of this stuff, and it's just like basic stuff. You think about it, you listen to it, and you're like, oh, that makes so much more sense. But only once you get rid of this relativity, only once you start to like ask yourself, like, is this actually true? Like, you have to go beyond the relativity part of it, at least part of it. But that doesn't mean relativity is false, or at least not completely false. The problem is that relativity is and does have a grain of truth, which is that people have different experiences, but that's not really relativity itself. That's just obvious, right? People have different experiences. People are going to look at things from different perspectives and angles. And that's okay, right? But that doesn't make the rest of relativity's statements to be true. And this is why I think logic is very useful. Because with logic, what you can do is you can make explicit statements like, oh, okay, so what are the foundational principles of something? Okay, so relativity, what would be some foundational principles of relativity? Even though relativity, people would be like, well, there's no principles. It's just like, oh, my truth, your truth. No, there are actually foundational principles. They're insane foundational principles that are found, but they are foundational principles, which is, well, everything is relative, everything is perspective. And there are different degrees of relativity, right? Because that part of it's fine. But where you start getting to the problems is where the people start going, well, because everybody has perspectives that are different, there is no such thing as absolute truth. There's just my truth. There's just your truth. And experience is, what's the word I'm looking for here? Experience is like your God at that point. Like it's all encompassing. Like there's nothing else. There's no objective truth. You know, why go beyond your experiences and like question things and go like, wait, what is actually happening here? And of course it goes to the question of like awareness as well in some ways, because one of the reasons why this happens, this is one of my theories about this, but I think there's some evidence to support this in yourself. If you look, maybe you might find this. But one of the things I think that supports this is that oftentimes when people look with awareness, they look at it like from this primarily like one-dimensional way. Like, oh, awareness is like becoming aware of sensations, thoughts, and like that's it. And it's like, I mean, that's true, but like a dog, it can do this. A cat can do this. Like, what makes you different is your ability to go deeper on that and analyze that awareness and go like, wait, what's actually going on here and why? What's different here? Which requires you to become a little bit more like objective. And this means that objectivity absolutely exists in like some absolute way. Like, oh, I know the objective truth, or like objective truth may exist, but I just don't know what it is. it's more of like a functional principle. Like, oh, like, how do we do things? Like, if we have, if we're building a city, and we have one person who thinks an inch is this, but another piece of person thinks an inch is this, and another piece of person thinks an inch is something totally different. Like, everybody thinks an inch is something totally different from each other. You're going to have a crazy city. Like, there's not going to be any, like, way of, like, matching things together. Like, this is how assembly work, lines work to some extent as well. Like, where you have, like, interchangeable parts. Like, you can't have that in a totally subjective society. And so, it's not that the truth is, like, absolutely objective in this, like, oh, fundamental reality sense. That was a mistake that I used to make as well. It's that, well, we have to make some truth. We have to make some agreement, like, about what reality can be, or should be, or truth is, or can be in this particular instance of, like, an inch has to be, like, this, but it's not this. Like, an inch is 12, an inch, a foot is this, but it's not this. Whatever it is. So that we can actually make decisions that benefit the entire world or the entire group that you're in or whatever it is. That's a strange thing to say, isn't it? Very shocking revolutionary point, but it's true. It's not shocking revolutionary, but it is. Like, people are probably going to listen to this and they might go like, oh, you're wrong. Or they might go like, oh my God, it's so revolutionary. Or they might just be like, well, yeah, that's just obvious. Like, if you're a carpenter, and you don't know anything about woods, you might use, like, woods that are very bad for, like, the job that you're doing. Like, if you're building a house and you use woods that are, like, really soft, like, it could break easily and it could rain. Maybe the wood would start to become really moldy or whatever. And so you have to choose, like, a different kind of wood for different circumstances. Like, that's so strange to say. But that's, like, the functional objectivity. Like, it's not absolutely objectively true in some, like, 100% sense. It's what we could call functionally objective. Pragmatically objective. Like, we can actually, like, look at the results from that and go, like, oh, this is working. Can we improve on the process? Maybe. But that does not prove relativity exists. And that relativity in this extreme form is true. And so, yeah, like, I'm unlearning a lot of this stupid shit because you just listen to it. You gotta, like, stand there and, like, go, like, okay, think about this. And this is something that I think about as well. And it's related in a lot of ways. So, how do I say this, right? So, if you have a subjective point of view, and there's only subjective point of view, how do you know, like, so, for instance, the reason why I think this is so useful is information, like, this is so true, and then we got to get beyond this idea of non-judgment and beyond this idea of, like, relativity in this extreme form, is because if you are to do a job, you're going to have to do a job in some ways, a way that works. Maybe it's going to be different than other people, but it's still going to have to work in some objective sense. And you're going to have to find something more than just like, oh, this works for me, even though your building is like collapsing and like fucking molded everywhere or whatever. But like, the other element of this as well is like functional society. Like, how do you make a society stand the test of time? Like, you have to make fundamental principles. This is just reality. This is just something that's been known for millennium. But for some reason, we have to, like, try something new. Like, everything is about, like, trying something new. Like, oh, well, that's been done before. Like, we have to do something different because it's novel. It's new. Like, it seems right if you think about it only from a subjective point of view. And if you don't think about the consequences of your subjectivity. But this is what we've done for millennium. This is what philosophers have kind of talked about. Like, this is the point of ethics in the first place. Like, ethics is not some subjectivity thing. I mean, it is in some cases, like, if you're going to the extreme relativity. But, like, ethics is, like, oh, this is how you do it, this is why, this is what this looks like, this is what this, you know, is supposed to be doing. If it's not, like, this might be why, you know, like, it's very systematic, it's very logical, because it actually works. Or it's actually attempting to work, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work, but that does not disprove objectivity, or at least functional objectivity. Because truth is more pragmatic than it is actual. Like, you could have a thought that says, like, well, this is how you do this, this is why, this kind of thing. But a scientist will go, like, well, that's not necessarily actually true. Like, you might want to go more into this and this and this. But that might be more complicated, that might be more technical, and that might be more expensive. And so you might want to go with a more practical or pragmatic response, which is like, oh, well, this is cheaper. It may not work as effectively, but it's cheaper and it's more useful. And so we can get it across many other areas, right? Like, you're not going to want, if you're, well, this depends, I suppose, but like, if you're building a city, you're not going to want the most fanciful and technical way of building a building. And like, oh, this is the most scientific way of doing it. Like, if you're dealing with earthquakes, perhaps that might be necessary. You're going to want, like, a practical solution. Like, well, this is where we're going to do it. This is why we're going to do it this way. Like, it may be, like, not 100% accurate, but it's functional, it's pragmatic, it's useful. And this kind of thing, right? And I think that's where people get wrong. That's why they people think that, like, objectivity is not a thing, or, like, oh, the answer is experience, like, in subjectivity. It's like, well, hold on one second. Could you think of one consequence? And this is something that maybe if I do make this episode, or I release this as an episode, this would be my question for you, Mike, you in the Q&A section of Spotify, which is, can you think of one consequence, just one consequence of choosing ultimate subjectivity over, like, a functional objectivity? That's a good question. That's a question that you might want to ponder for yourself. And it doesn't mean that subjectivity is wrong. Like, if you're choosing, like, a pair of socks and you're like, oh, I don't like black socks, so I'm going to wear this pair of socks, like, that's fine. But, like, if you're doing something that's supposed to be functional, useful, you might not want to do it in the most, like, meandering, relative kind of way. Like, spirituality is supposed to be more serious, right? It's supposed to be, like, a process where you're actually supposed to get somewhere, rather than just, like, oh, it's just a process. Like, no, you're trying to get to a certain destination. And instead of just being, like, this extremely ultra-relative process, it has to be a systematic, at least partially systematic process, to where you're, like, going, like, oh, this is how you do it. Like, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, six. Maybe not in an absolutely, like, rigid way, but just, like, in a way that to where you're going, like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. This is why. This is how this is going to work. This is why. And this is one of the reasons why I've honestly gone away from spirituality as well, because I find that it's not really useful. Like, it might be useful in, like, an emotional way, like, oh, I'm connecting with my spirit or my God or whatever, but it's not necessarily doing anything for you. At least self-help can somewhat do something for you, like, you're calming yourself down, you're meditating or something, but, like, spirituality isn't even doing that half the time. And you're just sitting there and you're just, like, mentally masturbating with yourself. Like, oh, God and community and love and oneness and, like, all this kind of stuff. It becomes just another way to keep yourself in this ultimate, like, relative rabbit hole. And this is one of the reasons why, as well, I'm starting to, like, question this idea of, like, oh, you must examine your emotions. You must become self-aware. Like, self-aware is not some ultimate panacea. There are people who do self-awareness all the time, but they don't necessarily get any tangible results from it. They're just doing it because people tell them, oh, like, self-awareness is necessary, this is why, this is what you do. And it's not unnecessary. You could definitely do it, and it could definitely be useful, but, like, a lot of times I think it's given in such a, like, a relatively, oh, it's okay, just do it in this way, and, like, it'll be fine kind of way, to where you're not actually getting anything from it. It's like if we were to do math and we're just like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, mathematics is not that. It's just subjective truth. 1 + 1 could equal 2, but it could also equal 3. That kind of thing. It's like that. It's like, what are you doing with yourself? You're wasting your time with this ultimate relativity bullshit. To where, like, now it's just pure confusion. Now all you're really doing is giving yourself comfort. You're making yourself feel good. Because it seems to work for you. And this is why people are going to be triggered by these episodes that I do, like self-help, spirituality, is not useful, and this is why, like, it's fake therapy, because they're emotionally invested in the self-help, especially spirituality, which is why sometimes experience can be disproven. Strange how that is, huh? Anyways, hope you enjoy this episode, and I will talk to you in the next one.